ready to start.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful day in Tucson. You know, Mr. Buchanan was speaking about Tucson of days gone by. I have seen Tucson like I've never seen before. We live up on the north end, and of course we're heading toward Oro Valley. Coming back this way, I never knew there was a hill back there. It was just absolutely breathtaking to look at that scene as you come back down the hill and you look and you see downtown. I said, what is that? Where did that come from? But Tucson has changed a lot, gotten bigger over the years here and stuff. So here we are, day two. Our great God wants us to enjoy this feast. And to start off today, as Mr. Buchanan was talking about priests, kings and priests to God and Jesus Christ, that's what we'll talk about today. But we're going to talk about a few of the intricate things. We're going to raise the hood. We're going to look at some things here that makes this possible for us as kings and priests in the making to be standing alongside Jesus Christ. When we consider the 1,000-year reign of the government of God over the people of this earth, what do we imagine? What will we imagine that we'll be doing at that time? Have you considered what we need to be doing? Now, Mr. Buchanan talked about some things that in the scenario he gave us yesterday about this gentleman who everything was taken away and the whole landscape changed. But today, let us look at some of the aspects of that biblical job description of the world tomorrow. Specifically, I would like to consider what the Bible has to say about serving in the role of a priest in the age to come. What does this job entail? What can we be doing to prepare for this job that lies ahead for us today? At first, we see in Revelation 1, in verses 4 through 6, we see the phrase, and has made kings and priests to his God and Father. It's a description that what we'll be doing in the world tomorrow. In Revelation 5 and verse 10, it tells us, and have made kings and priests of God for our God, and we shall reign on the earth. It's a millennial prophecy. It's a description of what our role and function will be during that time. Again, we see in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, we see the reinforcement of what that description will happen and what we can see as we bring this into our minds. Let's read this. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. In verse 4, it says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received that mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in this first resurrection. And I make note here that I tell our parishioners that you are special. There's only one first resurrection. And you being in it has certain special aspects to it. Blessed and holy is he. All such, the second death has no power, and he shall be priest of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Have you given much thought to that title of king and priest? God is calling and training us for that position, serving him in that world tomorrow. The Bible held a lot to say. A lot to say about the function of a priest historically, and that's what we'll take a look at. Under the old covenant, the priesthood served in various functions, taking care of the temple physically, making offerings to God. And a primary function of the priesthood was to be a teacher. The priesthood under the old covenant were to teach the people the law, statutes, ordinances of God, and instruct them on how to apply them to their lives. As priests of God and Christ, this will be a primary role that we will fulfill in the world tomorrow. We will be teachers. The world has a concept, and when they talk about angels and heaven and so forth, about sitting on a cloud, playing a harp all day, or something of that nature. And I tell everyone who listens, when that millennium period starts, the work will begin. The work will begin. You're training for that now. Isaiah 30 in verses 19 and 20 gives us a glimpse of what that role is. So let's look at that. Isaiah 30, verse 19. And it says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be gracious to you at the voice of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. The Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers shall not be removed into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. That's you. Now, we don't know what your face will look like when you manifest yourself, when you be that voice, when you tell them this is the way. Will it be your mature face? Will it be your teenage face? We don't know. We have no clue. But I'm thinking maturity, this is what we're striving for. And I've run into so many people that I've seen in years, and they said, you look the same. Just got gray hair. I said, how is that possible? Now let us look at a few scriptures that demonstrate what God expects of someone serving in the position of a priest, especially when it relates to their functions as a teacher. We're going to go back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 44. Let's have a look there. Let's look at Ezekiel 44 and verse 20. And let's read down through 24. Okay, are we there? All righty, let's go. It says, nor shall they shave their heads, nor allow their hair to grow long, and shall only trim their beards. You listening, guys? And every priest shall not drink wine when they enter the inner court. This was a must back when Moses led the children out of Egypt and Aaron, and they had the temple. These are the edicts. Nor shall they take their wives, a widow, nor her who is put away. But they shall take virgins of the seed of the house of Israel as a widow who had a priest before. Verse 23, and they shall teach my people to discern between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. Now here's where it gets tricky. And in a dispute, verse 24, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall adjudge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall keep my Sabbath holy. And you stop and you think back to the time of Samuel. What was going on? You had a man that was in position, he had children, who did not follow the way. Look at Eli before Samuel. Sons were taking bribes. But God laid out here how a priest will function, especially when it comes to disputes and judgment. No turning a blind eye. Strictly, the law which has become spiritual for us, no change. Because our God tells us as we sing, there is no turning of shadow with him. Period. And we see again here, let's turn to Malachi 2. Again, addressing the priests. Malachi 2. We'll start here in verse 1. And let us read through verse 9, Malachi 2. And it says, and now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on their faces, the refuge of your solemn feasts. And one will take away with it, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant is with Levi. In verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace. Here, God is giving us instructions on what and how we are to conduct ourselves. Serious business. Here we have a gathering of men and women that wants your spirit, that has no bearing on your gender, period. There will be men and women here who will be a higher rank than me because of purpose that God has brought forth us at this moment in time. He knows what he wants from us. We vaguely know, because there's still somewhat of a veil over our eyes about his purpose in the end for us. But he tells us what we need to know now about how we are to conduct ourselves. And you have these questions like Daniel. Well, what about close the book? Close the book. But we're inquisitive because God has put the world in our hearts and we want to know these things. We want to know. We're nosy. But that nosiness only goes so far. And God tells us to be quiet, sit down. And so here we are. How many feasts has it been for you? That God has stepped into our lives and made this possible. Satan is very active this time of the year when it comes to the high days. He will make challenges for us in a real way that almost gives you the opportunity to throw your hands up and say, I'm going home. I can't take this anymore. There's just too much stuff going on. But this is why we're learning here now, because you will tell the people in the millennium about those hardships and the things that you went through, and don't give up. Because there's a power that's in Jerusalem that sits right now that's ready to embrace you, ready to love you in what his purpose he has for them. And if we look at these sections of scripture, we should be able to notice, I'm going to point out three distinct attributes that God expects from a priest who served before him. Number one, a priest, they must know the way of God. Number two, they must go the way. And number three, this is when the cake is done. They must show the way. A righteous priest of God properly serving before him must know the way, go the way, and show the way. Prime example, a person carrying out these functions in a proper way. Let's look in the book of Ezra. Ezra. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 1, we'll start with Ezra 7, verse 1. I know some of you have your smartphones, you're already there, right? Ezra 7, verse 1. Okay. It says, and after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sarai, the son of Ezra, and the son of Hilkiah. And there's many other names that's in between here, verses 2 through 5, but let's drop down to verse 6. It said, verse 6, it says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given him. And the king granted him all he had asked according to the hand of the Lord God on him. Let's drop down to verse 9. It says, for on the first of the first month, he began to go up to Babylon, and on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God on him. And here's the key in verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it and to teach the statutes and judgment in Israel set his heart. This is why we're here at the Feast of Tabernacles, this great ingathering of the year, to set our hearts on the ways of God, to let him know this is not, as Mr. Buchanan was saying, this is not fake it until you make it. This is the real deal. Because God walks, as you remember, God walks through our hearts every single day. You with purpose, he does not take a coffee break from you. His eye is on you 24/7. That's hard to imagine, you know, and you don't want to think about that. But God's gaze never leaves those that he has called for this purpose. And remember, special you are. Because your brothers and sisters that's in the earth here now, that's waiting for their name to be called, that's going to meet Christ in the air when he comes, you too. This is why we're here, to learn to be these teachers and priests. Because in Revelation it says that you will go into the temple and not come out. You will stand before God forever. Period. So we have a monumental job here to do as we walk among men here on this earth. God wants us to be circumspect about who we are and what we do. Forget about the words that could come from your mouth. They want to see action. The people around you will test and push your buttons every single day. They want to know. And if you happen to have a hiccup and said, "Oh my goodness, I thought he was a Christian. What happened?" They want to know. They want to know if you're playing church. And you tell them in the sincerest way, in your actions, that this is real life for you. In these patterns that I mentioned, hopefully we can see what they are to us about knowing it, doing it, and living it. This is what it's all about. We're that silent majority as we walk among men. Satan has his finger on you right now. And every high day, I let the members know, when God says, "Don't come before me empty," he's not talking about money. He's not talking about the 10 lambs you got tied up to the fence posts out here that you're going to bring to give to him. He's talking about what's in here. Because we are very, very distracted. Little things get under our craw. And things happen to get a response. Remember Christ when he never reviled? Can we say that? When he just flew off the handle just one time. Now, how would you handle that if you're a king or a priest and you're mentoring the people here that are coming from a really broken situation? The human element, there will be nothing different. There's nothing new under the sun that man can do that has already been done. You will help them in their walk to be in God's family. To be mindful of this purpose God has set for you and me. How can I put this? This is no accident that you're here. You didn't take someone's place because Bobby over here fell to the wayside. No. Purpose for you, and with God, it's about planning. And Mr. Buchanan was mentioning the other day, it's that they sat in eternity and planned this. They planned how this is going to work out. And I characterize this as this moment in time, this little bubble that we are sitting in called time, is surrounded by eternity. This bubble that we're in, and guess what? This bubble will pop and go away. God has no use for time. But this little bubble that's right here, right now, that you're in, is surrounded by eternity. And if we are good and faithful servants, we can get to see that. We can get to see that. And God tells us not to try to outthink him. Because in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But we try to put God in a box like that because we want him to be like us. We have attributes from him. He laughs, he cries, he gets angry. But we must keep in mind that we cannot formulate a thought about God in a way that's central to man. A future priest must know, number one, the way. He expects us to know it. Not only for the purpose of our future service, but in our lives today, because this, your action speaks for itself. I've had some, not many. It says, oh, this book, some man wrote it. But what does God say about the inspiration of every word in this book? God breathed. It says, you are living a life of a fairy tale because this is not real what you're doing. And yet we go on our way. And we declare and we show them that when we show up for the Sabbath, the high days, that it's real for us. I remember as a young man, my first 5 years, I told them specifically, this cannot happen, this won't happen. Oh, he's just playing church, you just wait. We'll see the real Randy. We'll see the real Randy. But Christ declares that there will be very few who will know the way. You're here. How many people here in Tucson? There's a lot. There's a lot. It's only a few that's sitting in this room. It's not even a drop in the bucket of the amount of people that's on this earth that's in this body. In Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14, it talks about that narrow gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. This is what Satan has to offer. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. This is what the world has to offer. And a lot of people and will say that, well, the devil made me do it. No. What did Jesus Christ say before he ascended? He said, I have overcome the world. He didn't say, I have overcome Satan. Because the words go back to his rebuke in the Old Testament and the New. It says that the Father rebukes you. And that's all he said to him. But we have human nature. The world is in us. You look at those Ten Commandments and stop and think, because you will be teaching these things. You will be teaching. What does it mean? You shall have no other God before me. That look familiar? Things of this world, things made out of material that God created. But it tells us that the way will be fraught with challenges. Narrow is that gate, constricted is the way which leads to life. But God tells us that we must always, in Psalm 119, in verses 105, Psalm 119, in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Where can we go wrong when God is leading us? We always like to take a side trip. That's in our nature. Satan is like the peddler with the flashy little things here that's on the side. Said, hey, look over here. Come take a look at this. And we fall for it every time. And we go. And you wonder, how did I wind up in these weeds over here? And you see the light, and you make your way back to the path. This is who we are, human nature that we have to deal with. The ones in the millennium will deal the same. That even though most of them are asleep in the earth, when they are awakened, and when we die, there's a recording made of everything you have done. And when you're brought back, it's like in the movies, roll the tape. Now, God the Father won't judge us, but Jesus Christ will. Our Redeemer, our Intercessor. Satan tried to tempt Christ. We see here in Matthew 4, in verse 4. He was very hungry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are building the character. The only thing that you will take from this existence. The only thing that you will build while you live this life is the character that will be within you. What shall it be? Your body will go back to the earth like it was taken. But God wants to know the heart and mind of those that he has personally put his hands on. Will you be that good fit that he had purpose for before anything was made? Tough trying to wrap your mind around that. Before anything was made, what is that? But there would be many answers for us. Continued away. And we will instruct in righteousness, that we teach and be like God the Father and his Son in attitude and in mind. It's all about here. We can know everything, but if you don't demonstrate it and make it real in your life, it's useless. God wants us to be loving, be caring. I've even had people not offer to open the door, and they just hold the door for them, you know, just courtesy, instead of just walking and slamming the door in their face. You know, when you walk out, you hold the door. Oh. It's that get away from me look, you know, kind of thing. But that's okay, you know. There's a different kind of thought that's in this world. And we are of a different way of thinking. And it talks about going the way. Start walking in that path. If we know the way, we're accountable to go the way. Going the way involves putting into action the things that we learn from God's word. We can sit and read and pore over these words in this book and do absolutely nothing with them. It's fruitless. You see, in Deuteronomy 10 in verse 1 through 5, here they were expected to go to the way. The words of God was given to them, words of life. The same as it is today. As I stand before the congregation every week, and it's Mr. Buchanan and many other ministers throughout this body, we ought to be that demonstration to you. Because this is the proving ground here for you. Because what I do here today, you will do. You will do. But if we know the way and don't do it, it's a serious matter before God. How many have you known over these many years who are no longer with us? It pained my heart for many years. I had to get over that. That as a young man coming into this work and growing up with these people, I thought they would always be there. Always have the same way of thinking. But things changed. And we, as future priests and kings of God, we must learn the ways of not changing when it comes to God's word. Not like some will say, well, let's tweak that a little bit. No, there is no tweaking anything. The words are explicit here. And what God wants us to know and what he wants us to act upon. In Psalm 111, verse 10, Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. A good understanding that we continue to not be sidetracked, living what we've learned. I stop and I think about the men that I grew up with, the older men who set the pace for me. Living what I've been taught. And it goes all the way back to Mr. Armstrong. But digging into this Bible. And I'm thinking about men who I was under for many years. Norman Smith, Dean Wilson. And occasionally, my notorious buddy, Mr. Gerald Waterhouse, used to drop in on us most of the time. He said, that guy talks too long. I had the responsibility of handling the sound and the recording when he shows up, and he was still in the mode of banging the desk. I said, no, you got to stop doing that. You see the microphone jumping off the table. I said, you're getting a lapel mic tonight. But all these men who set the pace for me, you know, I stop and I think about being on track and when the blow up came in 95 and all this stuff. It's horrendous. And here we are today. Still doing. Still following the path. Some have deviated from that. But our God gives us strength to do what we do. His mercy is ever upon us. Today, God blesses us with this ability as an organized body to be able to support the leadership that goes out and proclaim the message of our church's commission. As individuals of the body, you have opportunity to support this effort by witnessing the gospel message through our own personal examples. When a prospective member walks through that door, they have to be able to see this in action. Your love, your empathy, your love for God's word, truth, fairness, not putting one above the other. And when we talk and sit and break bread and and speak about the things that God has done for us. Insurmountable things. Many of us in this body have some very serious sicknesses. And God comes to the call. Scripture shows that the ability for us individually to show the way is tied to maturity, your growth, eating solid food instead of still drinking milk. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Let's look at this. Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14. Begins by saying here, by this time, you ought to be teachers. God gives us many opportunities to teach. It's all for the benefit of preparing us to serve as teachers in the future. And in verse 13, it says, "For everyone partaking of milk is unskilled." Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. And in verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of age, even those who, because of us, have their senses exercised, discerning good and evil. And going back up to verse 12, it says, "For indeed, because of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become in need of milk and not of solid food." About going backwards. No. No. We don't become mature and then go back to the bottle. Opportunities to teach as parents, schools, jobs, family, friends. The Apostle Peter emphasized the importance of being prepared to teach. Let's read that. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense. Everyone who asks you a reason for your hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You don't come off as what, you know, being rowdy. A living example. Verse 16, having a good conscience. "That which they speak against you as an evildoer may be ashamed." Because guess what? Accusations are coming for you. Jesus Christ tells us that if you follow me, trouble is not far behind. We must prepare ourselves for these things because we must not revile. It's Christ who set the example for us. I just remember so vividly in my mind about the the scriptures where Christ, when they were here and the apostles were going from one town to the next, and he had this one person that was just following and screaming. And I guess after about the first couple of miles, the apostles said, let me go over there and take care of this guy. Christ said, leave him alone. Leave him. But they will come for you. And this is why we're here, preparing ourselves, our minds and our hearts to be those kings and priests. Our Christian lives are preparing us for service in God and His Son in the age to come. Scripture shows that we will be priests of God in Christ. And so to wrap this up, in this life, God has given us opportunity to develop the character and skills necessary to fulfill that calling, that purpose in you. Let us learn the lesson well. Let's study to show ourselves approved before God. Let's implement His instructions in a way that we live our lives before Him. And let's be preparing to teach through the opportunities God gives us in this life. And some of them will be pretty harsh. There are many who have problems with temper, keeping idle words out of your mouth, because God says that every idle word that you speak will come to light and you will defend it. As I mentioned, roll tape. Every knee will bow. And in doing so, we one day will be qualified to assist those individuals living in the millennium. We'll assist with the word behind them saying, this is the way, walk in it. My next message will deal with one word that can derail the whole thing.